You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Sunday's edition of the podcast where we're looking ahead to the action at Musselburgh and Punchestown. There's also domestic racing at Taunton. That will be the High Five meeting as well with us here at William Hill. James Millman, Paddy Aspel and Rory Delaghi are your team in the studio from 1:20pm on Sunday afternoon. But ahead of all the action, joining myself, Sam Norris, is the aforementioned Mr. Paddy Aspel. How are you, Paddy?
I'm good, Sammy. How are you?
Good, yeah. Not too bad at all, thank you. Back in the winner's enclosure as well a couple of weeks ago, Paddy. Was that the first winner back?
No. I had a few last year, but the first winner for a while needed one. So it was grand, and it was for a friend of mine, really, Phil Kirby. He trains literally just over the hill from where I am in Catterick. So it was nice to get one. Keeps your pecker up, but to be fair, I'm keeping busy enough.
Yeah.
You know, riding and doing this and whatever and enjoying it. So that's the main thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Good stuff. Enjoying the racing lately? We're sort of past the January lull now, aren't we? And it's beginning to kick into gear again as we turn our attention towards the festival.
Yeah, and you know, weather-wise, Sammy, you know, we've done well.
Yeah.
You know, there's been a few meetings off here and there, and obviously we had Chepstow.
Chepstow abandoned yesterday.
Chepstow was abandoned. I see Lingfield has gone Monday, but there are tracks that really they can go to extremes weather-wise. Lingfield is always heavy. Place of that, but no, look, it on a whole done very, very well, and the standard of racing has been real good. I mean, last week was fantastic, real good, and then we've obviously got a monster card on again today and some fantastic stuff. Even Musselburgh, real good prize money, decent ground. Unfortunately, we don't have stacks and stacks of runners, but we've got plenty of quality on offer. And also, from what we've seen of Sandown already so far today, although, you know, label-wise, the ground is labelled as heavy and soft and soft and heavy, they're not finishing too bad. And we've had some nice finishes, and it's been good to the eye. But, I mean, that's when you've got the better standard of horse, even when conditions are grueling, you know, it's still good to watch.
Yeah, we've just seen Bouvardet very much cement his champion hurdle credentials. The race has just finished there, the one that he's won at Sandown as we record this. 7-2 in the champion hurdle market. That may well come under some pressure. Hard to weigh up what he's done today, Paddy. There was only three rivals against him, and you'd have thought Irving would be the chief danger. Irving back in third. Raven Black took them along at a pretty good clip. Bouvardet's won very nicely, but it's very hard what to make of it. He hasn't come off the bridle, but then again, his main market rival's probably not run up to form.
Yeah, it is acceptable to say that it's hard to weigh up what he's done because there was only three rivals. But that said, in grueling conditions, Raven Black, he's only got one way of going, and that is hard from the front.
Yes.
And to be fair, in conditions, he's gone very hard. But there's very few tougher horses in training, and he loves Sandown. So the thing is, Raven Black is obviously rated lower than Henderson's horse, and a fair bit lower, but he always runs to a very, very reasonable standard and sets good fractions. And yeah, he's gone down fighting, but I mean, to say, looking at Henderson's horse, he didn't look like he was crazy about the ground, which is completely understandable, but still, he was literally in probably third, not even close to going into fourth gear. So very impressive, and for a horse who has been chasing, he wasn't sloppy or deliberate at his hurdles. He was good, he was accurate, travelled well. And you know, Barry Geraghty will, I'm sure, just tell connections that it was literally just like a good strong racecourse gallop. But it's a nice super sub, isn't it, for Yanworth, or you know, for Mr. McManus. And he's for me, he's by no means a back number, you know, and on more, or I won't say more, but just decent ground.
Yes.
Decent ground. You're going to see a better horse. You know, he's got stacks of ability, stacks of pace. All in all, you couldn't really, there wasn't a lot to be gleaned from the performance, but visually, very impressive.
Yeah, it certainly was. Where do you see him in terms of the champion hurdle? We've got Forhin, who's the 7-4 market leader at the time of recording. He almost feels as though he's odds against just to get there, Paddy. He's had a couple of setbacks, no run this season, didn't make the festival last season. Yanworth, who's had a small setback, we understand he's hopefully going to be fine for Cheltenham. Petit Mouchoir is obviously a very interesting player. But apart from that, Bouvardet is one of the more solid ones at the head of affairs, given that there's just question marks over Forhin and potentially Yanworth as well.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. I mean, I do think Petit Mouchoir, since being on the floor in the fighting fifth up at Newcastle, he's really booked his ideas up that horse. He was in a little bit deep to the last at Leopardstown the other day, and you could see he knew he'd been on the floor, and he's really booked his ideas up this horse. And, you know, his trainer has stated that also, that sometimes it can really damage a horse, but he says this chap's gone the other way. It's really straightened him out and smartened him up. And he's a fair horse, and at 92, I think he's a lovely price. And obviously there's doubts physically about Yanworth, and obviously, look, we've seen the goings on with the Mullins yard. We had loads of emails about it yesterday. I mean, I don't think a man like Willie Mullins is out to sort of pull the wool over anybody's eyes. It's just difficult getting, because these better horses are more delicate.
Yes.
Because they can go quicker than the average ones, so they're more susceptible to injuries. So, look, these things happen, but hopefully he'll get there. You know, we've not seen him for a while now, so it'd be great to see him again. And also Yanworth, because very, very likable horse. But there's no doubt, I do think the Henderson horse that's won today, at 7-2, he's certainly one of the more solid ones, Sammy, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And if you are a sports reporter, there's almost no one better than Willie Mullins than getting them ready for one race a year. We saw Covega come back year after year after year in the mares, and that was the only time she'd run all year. So you wouldn't be put off by Forhain if he turns up without a prep run.
Not at all. There's no worries on that front whatsoever. So you can really, really... It goes without saying, you don't have to take it on trust, because you know that if the horse is sound, the man will have him ready for that day. He'll be tuned to the second.
Yes. Absolutely. That's the champion hurdle picture then, after Bouvardet wins very nicely at odds on, never came off the bridle in the 150 at Sandown on Saturday. We'll turn our attention towards Sunday's racing now then. We'll look at three from Musselburgh and one from Punchestown. Before we get into the previews proper, we'll just mention the feature race at Punchestown on Sunday, which is the 3 o'clock, the Tide Cottage Chase. It's a grade 2 over 2 miles. We won't be giving this one the full preview treatment, because Duvan is likely to be 14-16-1 on for it, smashing the only likely danger, Draycott Place and Realtmore. It looks as though we're in there, Paddy, to pick up a couple of grand prize money. Has Duvan got anything to fear from smashing, or indeed the two at massive prices?
No, not for me. Not with a clear round anyway. Yeah. I mean, look, it doesn't need me to tell anybody the price reflects that. But the one thing is, we've only got four of them, but Realtmore and Draycott Place, they really like to get on with it.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're not just going to hide him behind Duvan and leave him to and get on with it and them to scrap it out for place money. You know, he'll get taken along at a reasonable gallop here, and, you know, it'll be worth his while turning up, because obviously, you know, with a clear round, he's going to pick up a good prize. The public get to see him, but also his mettle will be tested in the fact that he's going to have a good spin round. It's not just going to be a complete non-event, but obviously on the book, I mean, he's 174 and his nearest rival is 156, and obviously the betting reflects that, and the other two are a good way behind. But for me, he's an absolute machine, and, you know, yeah, numbers wise, it's disappointing, but I don't think, like I said, it's going to be a complete non-event where they're going to hack round in behind him and leave him to it. You know, he'll get a good tour round, a good workout, and it'll give punters a bit more of an idea as to where their money goes come March.
Yeah, definitely could well be a good test for Duvan. Pound for pound, Paddy, is he there or thereabouts the best horse in training?
I just think he's got the whole makeup, you know. He's so good on his feet. He's such a strong traveller. I mean, you know, we've seen Ruby ride so many good horses down the years, but this guy always gets a good mention, Duvan from Ruby, and he holds him in massive, massive regard, and deservedly so.
Absolutely. Let's look ahead to Musselburgh's card then on Sunday. It's good racing at Musselburgh on Sunday. We begin with the 240, which is the Supreme Scottish Trial Novices Hurdle. Just shy of 2 miles is the trip for this one. Six runners lining up to take their chance, just shy of 15 grand on offer to the winner. And a nice mix of horses in here, Paddy.
We have, yeah. I mean, really, look, top and bottom of it is, Sammy, it's poor money on offer for the calibre of horses that have... Yeah, there's a couple of bigger price ones in there, but you know, we've got some real nice horses here. Pete Mayo, man, is held in massive regard from Neil Mulholland.
Yes.
You know, he really does love this horse, and they've campaigned him very well, and you know, he's got himself up to a mark of 142 now, but I don't know if many people would have seen it, because I mean, it was at a bread and butter meeting, really, at Taunton midweek, but this High Secret was massively impressive on his debut. I mean, look, it's okay for a horse to just tip round in behind a horse who's come off the flat that's got plenty of speed, but the way he settled, the way he hurdled, and then when he jumped the last, it wasn't off the back of an absolute hack canter. He really, really picked up, and he absolutely blitzed to the line. You know, it was really, really eye-taking. And I mean, yeah, look, he's got nowhere near the experience that the top horse has got. And like I've said, he's got himself up to a mark of 142. But at 4-1, Sammy, I thought High Secret was a really, really good bet. You know, it's I suppose it comes down to, do you want to take the chance on the 4-1? Well, not so much the 4-1, but the lack of experience.
Yes.
But for me, the actual massive potential going to a track like Musselburgh. I mean, Taunton is, yeah, there's a bit of a downhill run in the straight down to them last two hurdles, but generally it's a pretty flat track, and it's same thing, it's right-handed, so pretty similar. And I just like the way he done everything right. You know, he settled, and as I say, travelled nicely, hurdled good, and just very, very likeable, and he was real strong to the line. You see so many horses, and especially the better ones, they'll only do the required amount, the bare minimum, whereas this guy, when Sammy Twiston asked him in the back of the last, like I say, he quickened like a flat horse, and it was visually very impressive. I'm not taking anything away from Peter de Mayo, man. Like I said, Neil Mulholland, who's having a fantastic season, really, really does rate this horse, and like I said, deservedly so. But I think Paul Nicholls and has picked up this recruit from the Sir Mark Yard, and he is, for me, he's going to be a proper bit of kit to the jumping.
Okay. High Secret then, the choice of Paddy in the 240 at Musselburgh, bidding to maintain his winning run over hurdles. We go to the 340 at Musselburgh now, which is the next race on the podcast. 2 miles, 7 furlong here for a novice's hurdle. Seven runners line up for this one. What did you make of them?
Same thing again. I was going to go with Sam Twiston and Nicholls. I mean, this chap he's sort of come the other way. You know, he's been a winning pointer, whereas the last one we've seen was a real smart flat horse. This fellow was actually quite a smart pointer, but he's won both his runs over hurdles. He's won them both, you know, without being massively impressive, but really, really couldn't help but being impressed with his hurdles debut. Like I say, he's a dual winning pointer, but he is coming up against four rivals who are rated 130 and above here, so this is by no means any sort of a walkover for him. But I mean, I thought at 13-8 he wasn't massively good value considering his lack of experience, you know, on the hurdling front, and but he's a horse that I like his makeup, I like his attitude, and you know, although he is taking on some battle hardened rivals here, I just think sheer potential, he's got bags of it. Tongue tie on again. And same thing, I think Paul Nicholls is taking up a real, real strong load over both days racing, today and tomorrow.
Yes.
And nice prize on offer, and I think Sam Twiston could have a reasonably good day tomorrow.
Okay, Overland Flyer then again for Paul Nicholls and Sam Twiston Davis, another one who won at Taunton last time out, gets the nod for Paddy in the 340 at Musselburgh. We go to the 410 then, which is a final race that we're going to preview from Musselburgh. Handicap hurdle here, 3 miles and 2 furlongs to cover. 12 runners line up for it. Who gets the nod here?
I was going to side with Harry Fry's horse here. What's his name? He's got himself up to a mark of 140. A very, very consistent horse. He has been on the floor once. And he's also, he's mixed both. But it's his handicap debut. Haven't seen him for 92 days, to be honest. That's the only thing, you know, maybe that would worry you. But coming from the outfit that he's from, wouldn't really bother me that much. He's got his fair share of weight to carry, 11-6. This is an ultra, ultra competitive race, Sammy. You know, it really is.
Yes.
There'll be no hiding place here. To say it is over 3 miles too, there'll be no hiding place here at all. But that said, on the other hand, people will also have Cheltenham in mind. Mm-hmm. So they, in an ideal world, they're not going to want to leave a big race behind them here either.
Yes.
So obviously if the race is there for the taking, they'll take it. But, you know, it's a decent race with a reasonably decent pot and offer. But I just thought it was a really good bit of placing by Harry Fry. And although he's got, same thing, plenty of experienced rivals, he's got plenty of exposed ones too, whereas one word I wouldn't associate with what's his name, considering he is seven now, is exposed. Mm. And I think off mark of 140, it's still pretty workable. And for me, it would be a winner there for Harry Fry and Nofa Healy.
What's his name then? The choice in that Potemps Network Handicap Hurdle at 410 at Musselburgh. We go over to Punchestown now for one of the most competitive looking races of the day. This is a Grade B handicap. It's a Grand National trial. 3.5 miles is the trip for the 15 runners. Could take some getting as well in potentially testing conditions over the RSC.
Yeah, 3.5 miles. I mean, I'll be honest with you, Sammy. I thought the type of race that it is, it wasn't actually that competitive.
Right.
Simply because there is an awful lot of horses in the field not coming into the race in very good form.
Okay.
You know, plenty of horses with decent ability and plenty of chasing experience and, you know, use that word battle hardened, but there's an awful lot of them here just at the minute, just struggling a little bit and a few of them just in a little bit of a lull. Now, the horse that I liked, but same thing, he's got to cope with the conditions, was Ross O'Sullivan's, I'm not sure how you pronounce it, number four. Bad Isles. He's been a good old horse for this yard. He's a course winner. He does know how to win. He's a great jumper. One thing about this horse is you can drop him in, he'll travel, he'll jump, he'll operate all day long. And so he's reliable in that sense. Off a mark of 141, he hasn't got an inch to spare, Sam. But at Chepstow, he ran a fairly decent race the last day. He looked to get tired now, to be honest, late on. So you've got to take on trust that he's going to cope with these conditions tomorrow, but simply down to the fact that an awful lot of his rivals here are just struggling for top form, he could just be in with a good chance here. But it's wide open, and there's nothing really, for me, there's no lurkers in there, you know, there's no sort of 5-6-year-olds that are really on the improve that we haven't seen very much of. So for me, it could be a race that's there for the taking for Ross O'Sullivan's horse, and hopefully it could be a winner for husband and wife, Ross and Katie Walsh.
Okay, by the Isles then, Katie Walsh taking the ride for Ross O'Sullivan, gets the choice in that Grand National trial at Punchestown then at 4 o'clock. Just give us a quick recap then, please, Paddy, if you would, of your four selections for the racing, both sides of the Irish Sea on Sunday.
Yeah, a couple of Nichols horses up at Musselburgh, a high secret in the 240. He was very impressive on his debut, and for me looks a real horse to follow. Overland Flyer in the 340. He's a dual winning pointer. He comes up against some nice ones here with ratings of 130 plus, but with the tongue tie on again, he is an improving 6-year-old this, and he was my selection there. 430, it was what's his name for Harry Fry and Nofa Healy partnership. Got a weight of 11 stone 6 to carry here, but on his handicap debut and off a mark of 140, I think this chap is certainly a horse who we haven't seen an awful lot of, and so therefore he's got scope for improvement if he's fit and ready to go for a competitive race after a 92-day absence. And then over in Ireland at Punchestown at the 4 o'clock, I went for Bad Isle for Ross O'Sullivan and Katie Walsh. He's a previous course winner. It was a good run at Chepstow when he finished 5th to 20 last time, and off a racing weight of 10 stone 11. I think he's there with every chance in a fairly uncompetitive race, and cheap pieces are on. I mean, the thing about this race is half the field have actually got to carry 10 stone or less. So, you know, it's definitely not competitive for me. For the money that's on offer and the type of race that it is, and I think if he copes with the ground, this real sure-footed jumper has got a real good chance.
Okay, excellent stuff. There we are in the thoughts of Paddy Aspell ahead of the racing on Sunday. You can join Paddy on William Hill Racing Radio in the company of James Millman and Rory Delaghi from 1:20 p.m. for Musselburgh, Punchestown and Taunton on Sunday afternoon. Pleasure as always, Paddy. Thank you very much for that and enjoy the action.
Thanks, Sam.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.